Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Hello, we want to welcome you to today's episode of the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. So the show used to be entitled Diversity in College Tennis, and we changed the name to get a little better understanding here of what we're trying to do with the show. We do want to talk about diversity. There's no doubt about it. However, we're going to make sure that we do that on air and not have to title our show with that. And we're excited that you chose to listen in either live today, which is always exciting, and I'll give out the call-in number here in just a little bit. Or if you're podcasting, we want to welcome you to the UR Tennis Network. We hope that you will look for us. We are on iTunes, and we do go operate through Blog Talk Radio, and we offer a series of programs for the tennis person in mind, and we are ever expanding. We'll be launching more shows in the future, and we're very excited about the path that we're on, so welcome aboard. And you've picked an exciting time to listen into the show. We've got I'd call it the coup d'etat of broadcast journalism here today with the way that the national tennis championships are setting up for the colleges. I think that we here, and I talk about the show, got the best guest in America when you want to talk about college tennis. And his name is Dash Cannell. Dash is the coach of the national champion Tyler Junior College Apache tennis team. And I say Apache meaning collectively because he is the only coach in America that this year double-dipped. He won both the men's and the women's title and did the best that he could with what was given to him, and we're going to have him on air today and let him talk about those experiences. And the exciting news about this is Dash has other connections to national championship teams. He's got a connection out to the Auburn University at Montgomery, where he has a junior college player that just won another national championship for that storied program in the NAIA division. And then just yesterday, he had another connection to the Women's Division I championship, where a former Tyler Junior College player, Sun Nguyen, got to play in that event. Unfortunately, Texas A&M came up a little bit shy on that, a 4-3 loser. It did come down to the last match. That's always exciting. I believe it was third set. We're also going to talk about the men's final at the Division I level. There were some crazy things that happened out there, and I actually can relate to what happened to one of these teams, or actually to both of these teams, because I've actually been there when this has happened in a weird circumstance, and it happened for me at Lee, and we ended up winning the national championship because of the call. And so we're going to talk about what happened in Illinois. It's an exciting story, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. So we're right in the middle of the NCAA championships. The Division I's have just finished their team championship with Stanford and Virginia winning there. Division II, we knew a while back that Armstrong Atlantic and BYU Hawaii were crowned the champions there, and we look forward to getting those coaches on the air. And that's what we're going to try to do here is just reach out to these successful college coaches, let them get on and tell their stories about what's happening in their world and just go with it. And every once in a while, pick a college coach that maybe nobody's ever heard of and talk to them about what's going on in their world, because everybody's trying to succeed, each on different levels, and all academically, we know that, and so we want to get those stories told. Division three is still going on. They're actually finishing up. I think it's today. NAIA, we know the champions there. So well, we got championship week or 2 weeks here at the collegiate level, and it's been some exciting tennis, and we look forward to getting the rest of these coaches on and talking to them about it. And we've got Coach Vargas from Auburn University at Montgomery next week, so we'll talk to him about his experience. He was close. He was close to what Coach Connell did, but he didn't get the job done. And Coach Connell, he went out and he got the job done, and we're excited to have him on air today. I'm going to bring him in here and see if we can do this. Before I bring him in, now let me give out my call-in number. So if you got a question for Coach Connell or myself, I don't know why you'd want to ask me a question, but you can call in at 714-583-6853. Again, that's 714-583-6853. And, you know, I bet Coach Connell, he has the answer. So let's see if he's on board here. Hey, Coach Connell, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Jason. How you doing?
Dash, very good. Very good today. You know, did you listen to my intro for the show?
You know, I did. I just plugged in there. I heard you talking about Auburn Montgomery a little, and you said a few nice things about me.
Let me tell you, I think I pulled off the coup d'etat of NCAA, NJCAA broadcast journalism here today. I have the only coach in America that double-dipped, so... nobody else beat me to it, right?
No, you're the first person that's given me that kind of attention, so it's nice. It's fun.
My listeners like to know that they're the first when it comes to these college tennis stories, and they like to hear them from you guys more than me. So you had an unbelievable year.
We did. It was, like any year, it had a different route than all the others, but the result was pretty sweet.
Yeah, pretty sweet. Come on, Dash. Now, you went out to Arizona and won with your women, went up to Plano and won with the men just recently. You're named the national coach of the tournament at both events. I mean, that's a pretty good result, I guess, there at TJC, huh?
Yeah, it is a pretty good result. I mean, the cool thing about it is, you know, it never gets old. You know, it's one of those fun experiences. You eat it up every time, and this year was no different. It was just a blast for our players and for the coaches.
Well, you've got quite a connection to this year's collegiate national championships. You realize that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, let's think about, you know, you won another title kind of surrogately here at Auburn University Montgomery because Hagar Caro is out there, and she won a national title.
Yeah, she did good.
That one always, and I like this when I was at Lee, it says Lee College next to the name, you know, when they transfer to another institution. So chalk that one up to TJC helping AUM win another title.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, you're connected to that Division One final.
Yeah, with Sun.
Sun's
playing double.
Yeah, Sun Wen, she's out there playing doubles, and it comes down to 4-3.
Yeah. And they had a chance too. They had a real shot at it. I was watching that one live on the computer, and it was a good match the whole way.
And what people may not understand is that you're an Aggie.
Yeah. So I'm kind of double biased on that one. I'm biased because I want some to do well, but I'm also biased because I like when the Aggies do well usually, unless they're playing against UJC. And so it's the only time I really root against them.
And even then, I bet it's hard. So you know, you're probably. Probably stand in the middle of the court just to make sure everybody understands I'm okay here. So, which one do you want to talk about first? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. My gosh, we've got a lot to talk about college tennis-wise here, but as far as championships goes, you want to talk about this TJC championship first, or you want to go to AUM and you want to talk about Hagar a little bit and her experience, and then our son, and what do you want to do here?
I like what we did, so I don't mind talking about TJC first.
Okay. Let's talk about the women first. You know, you had a successful fall season there and got to go to the small college championships. And then your spring season, how did it go? I mean, before you get out to nationals, what happened? Tell us a little story.
Our spring season, we did good. One of our biggest strengths has always been depth. And we knew we had players that could play up top with anybody, too. So I think we had a good team. The only real question was, there's a few other schools, ASA out in New York, and there were a couple schools in Florida. You just didn't know how good they really were. So when we got to Arizona, you got a quick feel for how good everybody was. And there was several teams there that, and we all kind of pushed each other to do really well. And so the girls did a great job all week. They, you know, it's tough. We've gotten a chance to win the last few years, and so there's a big target on our back. And every year we kind of preach that to our girls recently and tell them, you better be ready. Everyone's going to bring their best to take us down. And the girls did a good job with it again. They really stuck with it, and we got really tight in the end. But our girls hung in there and pulled it off in the end.
Well, and keeping up with the results, it looked like that ASA seemed to be a team that you guys had to deal with quite a bit out there. Is that right?
For sure. And last year they were, too. They had a really solid team last year. They got a new coach this year, Brian Slack. And he's done a really good job of kind of building the camaraderie there and kind of having them all be more of a team, which makes them twice as dangerous. And so they had the talent. We knew that. And so we were just we had to face them a lot. And they pushed us for sure. And so it was good matches out there.
So just for America Dash, and they don't understand the junior college system, you guys go out there and play points based on each match and even count points in the consolation. And it's not really a dual versus dual, you know, a team match scenario, yet you do come out with a team winner in that scenario, correct?
Correct, yeah. And it's a fun way of doing it. When I first got into junior college, I didn't love it. But then you realize the big picture is great for junior college tennis because what it does, it lets everybody find a specific spot for where they belong in tennis in junior college. And it's not just about the winner, but it's just about everybody and the whole junior college scheme. And so you learn to adapt to it. Your teams have to learn to adapt how to prepare for it and the pressures of it. And in the end, it worked out well for us this year again, so...
Now, you're out in Tucson, Arizona, and notoriously kind of a warm place.
It's warm, dry air, ball flies. Yeah, our girls had to get ready. We got there a day early, way earlier than we usually do, because I had a bunch of girls this year who loved to hit the ball really hard. And we had to get there early to make sure that we could keep it in the court still, because the ball flies a lot more.
Yeah.
And so we got there earlier, and all of us still didn't figure out that the ball flies a lot more, but we did so enough to be successful, and so it was good.
It helps to learn topspin out there in those climates, huh?
Yeah, it does help. It does help, and you don't have to hit every ball 100 miles an hour. They realize that, too. But
I'll let you know a little Lee College secret, Coach Connell, since we don't exist anymore, and you can use this if you want to. Before we go out to nationals, we'd shorten the court. We would actually shorter before we went so that the girls would get used to having to hit more spin before we got out there, and it helped adjust once we got out there because then the balls would be landing where we wanted them to.
That's good. That's good coaching. That's good.
Yeah, well, I don't have to go against you anymore, so I can give away a secret.
Thank you. I might use that.
Yeah, especially on the service box. I mean, it's ridiculous. You both have experience in that, and when you're watching women's tennis, we need every little bit when it comes to the serve. So, geez, just spin
you're
a ball
right.
in.
You're right.
So, and now, anything you do anything fun out there in Arizona while you're there with those ladies?
You know, we tried. Our days went a lot longer than usual for some reason. Usually, you know, we get done around 2 or 3 in the afternoon. It seemed like we got done 5 in the afternoon. So we didn't have as much free time. But we got to go out, you know, you got to go out and see the sunset out there in the mountains. And we did that one night and got to go eat at Pinnacle Peak and
there
Great
go,
Steakhouse,
yeah.
And we got to do some fun things with them. They enjoyed their time there outside of the tennis also. So
now, is this a big deal to TJC? Did your athletic director go out there?
He did. You know, Tim this year, Tim Drain's his name, my AD. This year was his first year. He's actually the NJCAA women's tennis representative now.
Wow.
So for all the nationals, he has to go, and he's going to kind of there as a representative for the NJCAA. At the same time, I like it because my boss gets to see his team play. And so it's kind of the best of both worlds for us.
Now, I got a blow whistle here. That sounds a little biased. I mean, is he out there in TJC gear, or how does that work?
I don't know. They asked him to do it. I didn't ask him to do it. But, I mean, it still is nice to have him there, to have some support. But he was made sure that he cheered at the appropriate times, and he wasn't, you know, showing any bias. I'll put it that way.
So were you able to, and for our listeners, this is where, when Nationals goes on, this is where we give out the awards, where the NJCAA, the ITA, they all get together and vote on players and give out awards for different categories. And Dash, were you able to pick up any awards for you or your team?
My team picked up a couple regional awards. We had a girl that won, Faustiara Peters, our number one girl. She was a freshman this year, and she got Freshman of the Year for our region. She did a really good job. And then Nello Peary, my number two girl, got the Sophomore of the Year for our region. And so those are the two main awards we got. And it was a deep, like I said at the beginning, it was a deep tournament this year, and there's a lot of good players that got the national awards for those. And
they're not national champions.
True. If I had to choose one award over the other, I would prefer winning the national championship above those awards.
I understand. Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
So in the end, when the dust settles, what was the point total for you and your closest competitor?
Oh, we beat ASA by, I believe, 2.5 points.
Wow.
Essentially, it came down to there were three doubles matches were left to play, the finals for flight 1, 2, and 3. And we were in flights 1 and 3, and ASA was in all three of the finals. And if we won one of the matches, we won. If they won all three of the matches, they would win. So it was it came down to the wire. And we had a really tough morning that morning. We lost a lot of singles matches that could have clinched it for us. And so we had to kind of just get over that and just get to work in doubles. And our number one doubles team, the two girls I listed earlier, Fausti and Nello, they really stepped up to the plate and played one of their best matches of the year. They're in that final and beat the ASA one team 6-2, 6-2. And they did a good job. And so they clinched it. And then our number three team went on to win theirs too. A little less pressure for them, and they didn't like the pressure as much. When they saw that Nello and Fausti won, they relaxed a little and put the pedal to the metal and pulled out their match also.
So, Dash, do you think that morning, those morning matches, those singles matches, did you have some of your players kind of succumb to the pressure of trying to win for the team?
Kind of. It's a mixture of emotions. I mean, you've been there. It's a
– Yeah.
You have some players who want to do really well, and they feel pressure just from the event. And there's other ones that are thinking maybe someone else will win it for us. I'm not sure I can deal with the pressure. And there's some that try too hard because they want to be the one. And so there's a fine line between execution and what kind of poise they need to have. And I don't know what it was. I think for each girl it's kind of a different story. A couple of the matches, we were just outplayed. A couple of the matches, the girls were just better than us. And then a couple of others, we may have gotten a little tight and let the match get away from us. And so, ideally, as a junior college coach, it's one of those things, hopefully they learn from it, and either the next year with us here or wherever they travel after here, they kind of learn from it and they use it later on to be mature. So,
well, that's the definite advantage there at TJC. You know, you win. You're successful, and you move on with a winning attitude.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, I think that's why why people want to come there. I mean, I really do. You know, you've got such a good chance of success if you can make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, that's the hard part, is making it sometimes. I hear you.
Well, it gets harder with this generation, you know, this cell phone generation. I mean, it gets hard. You know, they're just a different breed of person. They've grown up mostly with cell phones in their hands. And then you're trying to, and tennis players are a little bit different because they've had to look at people in the eye to play them. But they're so used to communicating differently that you know, sometimes when you get a group of people together, it's hard to get them to move to one direction.
Yeah.
But that's why I like, you know, and that's what made us successful, makes you successful, is those trophies that you walk home with.
Mm-hmm.
Because those
you're
kids
right.
really, you know, that's their symbol. You know, and I could remember having teams that were so dysfunctional, and you get out there to nationals, and all of a sudden it's like, what's going on? Who is this group of people? You know, and sometimes you get groups of people that are just, let's just go do it. You just never know.
You're right.
So and next year's team, I mean, how many national champions do you bring back?
We bring back a few. We bring back our number one, our four, and our six. They're
good.
Coming back, and so we have a good core there. And I really, our recruiting class this year, I love the girls
yeah.
we have coming in. I'm really excited about them. We got a few great Texas girls. Just signed another international girl who's going to be coming in the fall, and I'm really excited about next year again. Hopefully, reloading and because we better that ASA team's coming, and so and there's other teams out there coming. Those Florida schools are getting stronger, and Collin County's strong, and so. There's just going to be a lot of people out there trying to beat us, so we got to keep rolling.
Yeah, no, I understand. So you get back. What day do you get back? Saturday, Sunday?
Get back to where's that? Tyler?
Yeah, get back to Tyler.
Oh, I'm here.
No, I mean whenever you get finished with the girls, you leave Arizona on a Friday. Is that right?
Well, yeah, no, we already finished. We finished on Friday, got back Friday night, and then Sunday morning left to go to the guys.
Yeah. That's where I was
yeah.
going, is to the guys. And you
drive
over to Plano, Texas, and my understanding is sit through a pretty intense seating meeting over there. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, it's always pretty intense because with the seating meetings, you try to say why your guy deserves certain spots, and it's hard because you haven't always played the other guys that other schools are talking about, and so it's not as cut and dry as you hope. But we were very fortunate with our seedings. The rest of the nation really felt like our guys had earned some good spots, and we were pretty happy with it. Going into it was the hard part. We had. In early April, our number two guy, a guy from Germany, decided for one reason or another, it's still kind of hard to explain, but tennis wasn't going to be for him anymore. And so he dropped out of the team. And I mean, I told him to at least finish school, you know, so he wouldn't mess up that track.
Right.
So he finished school, but he dropped out of tennis. And then while at Girls Nationals, my number three guy, my guy who was going to take the number two guy's spot, had to have an emergency surgery on his intestine. He had scar tissue in an artery that had tangled up in the intestine and had to have an emergency surgery. Took about 4 hours. And he's fine. He's doing great, but he's not going to play tennis a week after that. So we lose our number two and three guys, and everyone bumps up two spots. And at the seating meeting, I'm trying to explain why my number four guy deserves to be seated at number two, and it's hard, you know. And so you kind of hope other coaches understand, and they did. They understood the position we were in, and they, luckily most of them had seen my guys play and felt like they would get deserving seats, and it worked out well for us.
Yeah, yeah, and this is an entirely different set of coaches and teams, I guess, that you face at the men's nationals versus the women's nationals.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are the same coaches, but it's a different mentality for some of these coaches. For one reason or another, they you know, losing in the women's. They want to win the women's, but they don't feel it. There's not much fire sometimes for some reason. I love the women's tournament. For some reason,
yeah.
The carryover is not the same. And so, they're ready to. Every team is there, and there's maybe it might just be all the testosterone in the air from all having all the college males out there playing tennis, but there's a lot of fire out there.
Now, in Arizona, you don't have to worry about rain that much, but I know that you had to worry about rain in Plano. So how did that affect your tournament?
It affected it big time. It rained 3 mornings in a row, our Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning, our last 3 days. And it can be tough, especially like on Wednesday, we woke up early. We got to the courts around 7 a.m. to warm up. And then around 7:45, it started raining, and it rained for 2 hours. So there was a 2-3 hour rain delay. And so it's kind of hard because as a coach, you don't want to be flat when you go back out there. But at the same time, if you're pumped up for the 3 hours of rain delay, you're going to be exhausted by the time you start playing tennis. And so you have to, you know, have to let them relax a little bit, maybe take a quick nap while they can, and then reload and go out there. But our team handled it really well. We handled a lot of things this year, a little adversity. We handled it really well this year.
Well, I don't know if any college coach can top that adversity. Going into a national championship and losing 2 and 3 basically within a month's time, you know, and then turning around and winning a national championship, that's your team must have been quite deep in several ways.
Yeah. Now through the spring we had an interesting spring just for different weekends. We had, you know, one or two guys missing for different tough weekends against tough opponents, and our team always seemed to kind of group around each other. And I don't think it was anything necessarily the coaches did. They just seemed to understand that we didn't want the team to lose. And so,
yeah.
You know, my number 8 guy would step in, play number 6 or number 5, and he'd fight his butt off and then, you know, pull a match out. We would beat a team 5-4 that I didn't think we should have beaten without a couple guys. And I was, in the end, obviously, I was pretty happy that we had to do that a few times, because going into nationals, we had to do it again. And we were all so confident in each other by that point that I felt like anybody in my top 8, I'll just put whoever I can in there, and we'll just see who battles. And they did it. I mean, it was a tough group of guys. They a lot of different things, a lot of different attitudes they had to go through this year, and they just toughed it out in the end. They were rough.
Well, Dash, I mean, is it a 4-day, 5-day tournament, that men's nationals?
Yeah, it's a 5-day tournament. We got lucky. The first day we got all byes, so we didn't have to play the first day. So we got an extra practice in and kind of get an extra day to get our brains ready to compete. So we only had to play the last 4 days. With the rain and last 2 days it got really hot. It's a long week.
I was going to ask. The weather's different.
Yeah. And you can tell. I mean, that's one of the things. It wore on a couple of our guys. We had a couple of guys get tired, but they kind of fought through it, and they were still able to be successful in the end. But you could tell it affected a lot of other teams, too. They just kind of the emotion would run out because they physically just were exhausted.
I'm thinking that maybe like Nadal or Federer's camp should get in touch with your training staff to get these kids recovered and back to back. I mean, and granted, it's no 5-setter. I realize that, but you understand what I mean. It takes a lot out of you in that humidity.
No, yeah, it is, and you know this. It's so emotional too. I mean, half of it's the emotional exhaustion you feel, and so. We tried to get them really revved up this past month or so, especially, you know, Texas hasn't been that hot this year.
Yeah, you're right.
There's been times
right.
where it was hot, but it was just cool. And so we were really worried as a coaching staff how ready we were going to be physically. So we really tried to make them run a little extra, maybe not so much in the weight room, but a little more running to get them ready for extra sweating, you know, and things like that. They would have to do at nationals. And I guess it paid off. I don't know. The guys seem pretty comfortable with everything.
Was it another last day scenario? Did it come down to the last day?
You know, it didn't this time. We clinched at the very end of all the doubles on Thursday. We had clinched. And so Friday was a chance for our guys to go out there and kind of do it for themselves a little more. I mean, obviously, there's still a team aspect, and we want everyone to be successful, and the coaches help a lot. But, you know, I told them the night before that last day, I was like, you guys clinched it, and we celebrated, and we were happy. I was like, but know that there's a big difference between winning your draw and being first-team All-American and losing in the final and getting second-team All-American. And I was like, that kind of thing can sit with you for a long time. And I was like, so yeah. Go out there and fight. And man, they did. We only lost one of those finals matches. We lost at number six. We lost in the final, but ended up winning six of the draws. And so our guys really put it to everybody.
So, you know, I mean, a natural question here that I have to ask is on the women's side, are you seeing more representation of different states? I mean, are there more community colleges participating in the national event? And I'd ask the same thing on the men, too.
Yeah. The men were the same. I believe the same number, essentially the same teams. There's a few new teams, like this ASA team, the past few years have really gotten stronger and stronger. So there's a few new teams that are developing some strength. Georgia Perimeter's coming back in the power. Yeah, they're the same few teams that have always been good. On the girls' side, sadly, we were a few teams shorter than usual. We usually have about 28 teams. This year, I believe it was 24 was the number. And so, which, you know, as a someone who wants there to be as many teams as possible at that thing, just because it makes the competition so much better for everybody. It makes tennis better. Yeah. It bummed a lot of coaches out to see, you know, man, four or five schools aren't here that usually are. How can we make sure that we get all the teams we can get here? So it's changed a little bit in that aspect.
Well, you know, the point situation helps a lot of those schools because they can go back and tell that they finished in 17th place or whatever. Then, you know, but the dilemma is if you send a team out there the first year and they score, they get 28th place, they go back, that's amazing. They never did anything like that before. And then the next year they do 28th place again. And then the next year 28th, and slowly the school starts to realize, well, we're just sending a bunch of girls out there to get 28th place.
Yeah.
And that becomes hard for that administration then to justify that cost. But I agree with you. I think that even if, I mean, the school should send those kids out there. They qualified for that event, and they should get to go.
Yeah, I agree. It's a learning experience for even the people who don't necessarily hold the championship trophy. I think it's a learning experience for them the rest of their life, you know, to compete at a high level and get to see other teams and other people in pressure situations. I think it's a life learning week. So,
well, I understand through the grapevine that there's a men's team forming in Florida. Have you heard about that?
I have vaguely heard about that, and I hope so. At the same time, I wonder who they're going to play against because there's no other men's junior college teams out there. But I have a feeling they'd be pretty good.
Well,
but,
gosh, I would think so. You know, I mean, I don't think it would be a problem for those schools to form men's teams. Do you?
No, I don't. I mean, they have plenty of women's teams out there, and the numbers are good there, too. And so I think guys, they would – I mean, one of my recruits coming in is a guy from Florida, and something tells me he'd be the kind of player that if there was a spot for them to go to, he probably would have stayed closer to home. And so, no.
Well, hats off to you. That's good recruiting. I always told the Florida schools, you need to come to Texas. You'd have a better chance of getting some of these kids to come to Florida than I do having them come to Baytown.
you're right. Something about that coast might be a little nicer than ours or something like that.
It really is. I mean, and I tell you what, you can't go into Florida and say, hey, why don't you come to Texas? But you can come into Texas and say, why don't you come to Florida and be successful?
Yeah, you're right.
Particularly at our level, because it's a – some of those kids see it as a 2-year vacation.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so the, on the men's side, how many flights did you end up winning total? You said six on the last day?
Yeah, we won the top four flights, and then we won lines two and three doubles.
Okay. Now, tell me about the sophomore and freshman breakdown there. I mean, you're losing a great player.
Yeah, but our number one guy, Adrian, he'll be one of these guys that I'll probably talk about for the next 20 years of my life. Just the impact he had on our guys and our team. And obviously, his level was good. He didn't get the closest match he had at Nationals in line one. He lost five games. That was the closest match he had. He won 6-4, 6-1 in the quarters. That was his closest one. So the tennis is there, but it's the other stuff that I won't forget. He was a leader. He's a team guy. He pretty much did whatever he had to do to help the team out. He needed to do – I mean, the night before our last day, we had to do some laundry, and he's the guy wanting to do laundry. I mean, he's one of these guys that you want on your team. And and he's going to Texas next year, and I think Coach Sinner's going to love him. I think he's going to be really going to stand out there. And if he keeps his work ethic up, I think he could do some really special things there. But it's up to him and how much he wants to work in the long run. We're losing him. We're losing the numbers two and three guys that ended up getting – they ended up not playing for us. We lost both of them. And then we lost a couple other lower lineup guys. But we're getting back at the guys who played at Nationals. Our number two, three, and five guys are coming back.
Okay, yeah.
We have a core there. I kind of like the girls. We have a core group of players there that are good. We're just kind of we got a good recruiting class coming in. Still looking for it to fill one or two more spots, and hopefully this summer I can find those guys. And so.
Yeah, and so you. When did you get back from men's nationals?
We got back Friday, four or five days ago.
Well, that's outstanding, and I joke about it, but it is, I mean, quite an honor to get both teams awarded a national championship in 1 year. Some people have a hard enough time just making it to the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's a combination of a lot of things. It is really, I agree, it's a huge honor to be able to say that TJC did that this year, and it's just all the credit really for me, however corny it sounds, the players just did a phenomenal job these 2 weeks. And I kind of just try to corral them and make sure the energy is going the right way. And they just did a phenomenal job. And so it was I won't forget this year, that's for sure. It'll last with me for a long time. And I'm excited to get to tell stories years from now about what happened this year and help motivate players later on down the road from what happened this year.
Well, we're going to get into a story here in a little bit, I won't scare you with it. I think it's kind of a funny story that's happened recently at that Division I men's tournament. But I was going to ask before we get away from JUCO Nationals there is, you know, the doubles is worth 1 point. I mean, every single round that you play, I mean, do you really think that helps a team in those situations to have, you know, singles and doubles count for the same amount?
I'm a big advocate for doubles. I think it's a pretty important thing. It's hard sometimes because it's a different learning curve for doubles with a lot of the juniors coming in. And I think the USTA has done a lot of things recently to help doubles become more important, I guess, for the average tennis player, especially the juniors. But I like it. And we practice it. I always say to our players, you know, 33% of our points will come from doubles, the way that point layout is. And so we always work a lot on it. And so about 33% of our practices are on doubles. And that's what we always kind of tell them. So I think it's I like doing well in doubles. And it's just one of those fun things. But I'm kind of if someone said, hey, let's go play tennis, I'd be, okay, where's the other two guys that are going to play with us? I'm kind of, that's the way I think. I kind of like doubles first before singles, but I don't know.
I think it. I think it helps. I think that, you know, when everybody's out there realizing that everything counts, you know, and moving the team forward, no matter how big or small you are in that, you know, if you're a number six or a number three, it doesn't matter. We need your help.
Yeah, and that's one of the, you know, I was watching this past 4 days, the Division One championship online. It's amazing how many matches someone went to doubles point. It really didn't matter in the end, it seems like. You know, I mean, they win the doubles point and then they lose the match overall. Not that it doesn't matter, but it just doesn't seem as important point-wise as I think it should in the long run. It's one out of the 7 points that can be grabbed. And I wish in the long run, now I'm very green and I don't know too much, but I wish in the long run points might be worth even more later on down the road for doubles, at least at the Division One level, because it's just an exciting thing to watch and to be a part of.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you take that format that you guys play in Plano and Arizona and you put a point total to it, would that enhance the Division One tournament a little bit more, do you think?
Oh, it would change it. I don't know if it would enhance it or not. You know, there's a lot. The main reason, like you said, junior college does it is to help those teams that may not finish in the top eight. You know, they can say, I finished 12th, and that you can add the point total up, and it's very cut and dry on what place you got. And I'm not sure they don't need that in Division One. But at the same time, It sure is fun. It's a different kind of pressure.
Yeah.
You know, you can go out into a dual match and you feel a lot of pressure. You play a bad match, your team still does fine because your other teammates won. But in junior college, if you go out there that first match and you lose your first round of that draw, your team is in trouble. You know, and they're in a hole already. And so it's just a different kind of pressure. I don't know if it would enhance it or not. It'd be fun to watch, though. I know that. It'd be fun doing the math and seeing who would come out on top.
So let's talk stories then. After we'll leave TJC and come back before we finish up here. But let's talk these stories. Do you know the story about the Division One men's final yesterday?
I don't. I just saw the score. I watched the women's. I didn't get the chance to watch the men's.
Well, it was an interesting ordeal. You know, it comes down to the last match. And the guy, Mitchell Frank, who ends up winning it, is down love six, and he's actually down, I think it's 5-3 in the second set. Mitchell Frank's from UCLA, and Adrian Puget is I got it backwards here. Puget's from UCLA, Frank's from Virginia.
Yeah.
So the UCLA junior was called for touching the net on match point. And apparently what it was is that Frank hit a pretty weak kind of pass up the line and got caught in the wind, and Puget was called for touching the net on match point. And he ended up losing the match and the set, you know, the whole thing. I mean, he ends up losing the game, the set, and the match because of that call. And UCLA thinks they've won it, so they're very excited, and then they realize, oh, my gosh, we haven't done anything.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a crazy story. Have you ever in your you know, have you had that experience in your college coaching experience there at TJC or even at A&M where you see something end kind of crazy like that?
That's rough. I mean, that would be bad enough if it was in the Elite Eight or even the Final Four, but it happened to be the championship match with the deciding match. That's a interesting ordeal. That'd be hard to get over.
Let me share with you this before you share any crazy story you got and give a little time to think about it. But that last year I was at Lee that we won in 2009, the same thing happened to us in a doubles match against Cali County. Little girl on match point ends up hitting the net because of a sitter overhead, and her partner just deflates and can't believe that her partner ever did anything like that, let alone pick up a tennis racket. And doesn't want to be with her for the whole rest of the match. And I had a girl, Frederick Sundstrom, who was bizarre in her own way and yet a pretty decent player. She ends up being the hero of the day, and you know, you just, and it ends up that we win the national title because of that kind of a crazy scenario. If it hadn't have happened that way, we wouldn't have won, you know, and that was basically the only way, when you look at it, that we could have won, because we were, it was a center overhead. I mean, we were done in just some fluke. You know, have you had anything like that happen?
Oh, I'm not sure I've had anything that bizarre. It's just funny, though. The biggest thing that, there's probably two little things that happened this week, the past 2 weeks, that catch my memory. The very first one was my number one double team in the girls. We were in the quarterfinals playing a good team from Seminole State in Oklahoma. It's in the middle of the first set. I think we're down 3-2, but we're serving. And it's 30-all, and my girl hit a second serve. We play out the point, about three shots. We win the point to go up 40-30. And then as we're switching sides, there's an umpire that runs for about two courts over and says, no, no, this serve was a let. And all four players on the court were looking at her, and all four said it wasn't a let. And she said, no, it was a let. We play the point. Or we play the second serve. And so my girl goes back over, and, of course, she double faults, misses the second serve. And then on the next point, we're down 40-30. The next point, she hits a weak serve, and the girl banged it down the line for a winner on the return. And so all of a sudden, we're down a break 4-2. And we ended up losing that set. We ended up losing the set, and we fight like dogs to win that match. We played tight the whole match, and I think it was something like 6-3 and 6-4 and a third or something like that. But, and those are the girls that go on and win. Essentially, I told you earlier, they win it for us. And so if they lose that match, we probably don't win. And so it was that was an interesting moment. And as a first set, as a coach, you think, do I step in and complain a lot here, or do I just let it roll and kind of just, you know, don't make it, kind of pick your battle the right way? And I didn't step in and pick that battle. And in hindsight, maybe I should have, because it ended up affecting the rest of the first set. But it was fun. Another story. Our number six guy was playing this past week. Played a good first set, won it 7-5, and was up a break in the second. But you could tell he was running out of energy. He was mentally and physically starting to look a little weary, and I was getting a little concerned, but trying to make sure he finished the match. He was up 5-2. The guy held to go to 5-3, and then my guy's serving at 5-3, and he's down low 30, and he starts cramping. And so get a little worried, and the guy kind of gives him a couple points and get back to 30-all, and my guy plays a good point at 30-all to get a 40-30, and then he's up 40-30, and I tell him, man, I've been telling him the whole match, he needs to go forward to the net, because the other guy didn't have a great backhand, he had to keep on picking on it. And so he works the point, he goes in early in the point, I'm watching it, this is great. And the guy runs around his backhand and whips this nasty forehand at my guy's feet. And my guy stuck the volley for a winner drop shot. And as he hit it, he let go of his racket because his hand was cramping so bad. So he hit the drop shot, barely holding on to the racket.
Oh, my God.
And then couldn't shake the guy's hand because he was cramping. And he had to shake it with his left hand instead of his right hand.
Oh, my gosh.
Obviously, the guy wasn't too happy about losing that match, especially that way. He had the guy on the rope.
Those are some great stories, for sure.
The junior college tournaments, man, you know, they always have a couple of stories, it seems like, every year.
If you want a book to write, sit down and pour, you know, chronograph that national tournament. I like court from two courts away. That's pretty impressive umpiring.
Oh, it was. I was so confused. I thought she was calling a let on, you know, a ball that rolled past or something, and I couldn't find one. And I heard her say second serve, and then I figured out later, because I asked the umpire later. She said, no, I saw it from two courts away, and that's when I kind of griped at her. I was like, well, none of the players saw it, and I didn't see it. And
yeah.
I don't know, but you know, you're in charge. I don't know. So.
Yeah. Was she wearing glasses?
Sunglasses. I don't know if they're prescription or not, but
okay. Well, let's talk about Hagar just a little bit, and this is something that I love about the community college program is a situation where you can take one of your successful players and have them transfer to another successful tennis program and get an education paid for. I mean, is that your feeling on what Hagar did here, was make the most of her situation?
Yeah, I think she did. You know, she was after she finished her eligibility here, she still had a semester left at TJC to graduate before she was trying to find a place to go play. And then when she found out at Auburn Montgomery and getting that chance to go there, I mean, she was super excited. And we've been keeping in touch with her, you know, on Facebook and just online, email. And she's loved it there. She's really had a good time there. And she's one of those, it's fun looking at the ITA Tennis website, seeing their team picture pop up there and seeing a girl that you recognize that, you know, worked hard with you for 2 years, having that opportunity to do that at another level. It's really a fun thing to see.
Yeah, exactly. You do
feel some kind of connection when you see that. You feel like, you know, obviously we didn't do it, but you were there for part of her journey. And
that's right.
To have her be able to be there, it's a fun thing to see.
Right. And I know she was a big TJC player. I think she even painted her rackets yellow and black.
She had some. She might have done that. That's a good question. She did have some fight to her. She had some nastiness, and so she did compete. So it was fun.
Yeah, no, she was a great kid. She was fun to be around. You know, it's one of those, you know, one of those persons that when you're on the opposite end of it, she gets on your nerves. You know, sometimes. But as a coach, you realize you would really like to have that person on your team, and that's why she gets on your nerves.
Yeah.
Because if she were playing for you, you would be all about that kind of a player, you know, one that rooted for their team, that helped their teammates out, that wasn't afraid of anybody, that kind of person.
No,
but it got on your
nerves. I agree.
You know, on the opposite end of it. Now, and so, you know, Hagar's leaving, and in walks this girl from China, Sun Wen,
yeah.
and she's a pretty decent player.
Yeah.
Did you think when she walks into the TJC campus that she's going to be where she was at yesterday?
I didn't know. I mean, Sun, you know, she's kind of one of these people, when she walks in, you can tell this girl, she kind of has a business-like attitude. She's got the physique for it. You know, she was a tall girl. She loved to hit the ball. I wasn't sure. I think she's going to go and be playing on a big-time team like A&M was this year. Man, they were good. They were so good that, I mean, she didn't even play singles, you know, during nationals. She just played doubles. So that says a lot about how good their team was. But
she had played singles during the course of the year to help that team out.
Yeah, she had. She'd done it a lot. And I think their team, one of the main differences in their team this year is they were just so deep. You know, so if you didn't stick with it and you didn't get the wins you needed to win or needed to have, you know, they had another girl that could probably get those wins. And so it's a good problem to have if you're A&M. I know that. I know she's really enjoyed it there. And, you know, they had that coach change right when she was going. So I was interested to see how that would all work out for her. But she said she's really enjoyed her time there. And that she didn't regret going there at all. So that's kind of what you want to hear as someone who watched her go to another school. You kind of want to hear that she enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, it's another one of those and another one of those great TJC stories. I mean, it just bodes well for the institution that you represent, Dash. And it's not just tennis that you guys do it with there at TJC. It's the other sports. You guys just know how to treat those athletes and get them off to good institutions. So, you know, I'm curious now. I mean, I knew they were going to make a statue for Coach Niffen. Coach Cox was a little bit out of it. He didn't stay there long enough. But Coach Peterson, I'm surprised they haven't erected the Statue of Liberty there down by the courts yet. And now Dash has cemented his place in being a good college tennis coach there. I mean, that's a congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. If my name ends up being thrown in with those couple other guys, when it's all said and done, I'll be pretty happy. those guys are.
Those guys knew what they were doing, and I think you know what you're doing too. You know.
Well, thank you.
Although I joke with Peterson that I'm still not sure he knows what he's doing, but somehow or the other he figured it out.
Yeah, he did a few times. I think he figured it out. Yeah.
That's for sure. So, you know, I'm curious. I mean, and I kind of know the answer to this question, but I'm going to pose it to you. I mean, how long do you get to enjoy those national championships?
Oh, for a bit. My wife is helping me enjoy it for now. She's making sure I take my time, before I think about too much about next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm trying to make sure all the kids that we need to get figured out for next year, now we do. And then you probably get around middle of June, late June, I'll probably take a week or week and a half and just quit. Just don't think about tennis for a week, you know, and kind of get away from it and think about, you know, important things, a little more, maybe more important things like my family and things like that a little more.
A beach, a condo in the woods, something.
Exactly, something. I think the beach is calling my name. I think by the time June rolls around, I think I'll be. Everyone else at the beach won't be happy to see my shirt off, but I'll be happy to have it off and
so
work on my tan a little.
So you guys will get started in August with when school gets started, I guess.
Yeah, middle of August we'll have all those new recruits coming in, and we'll swing at it again. We'll see how we do, and I'm excited. I think there's good stuff happening still at Tyler, and I'm just happy to be a part of it and be around for it.
Yeah, I think you're in store for some good things up there, Dash. And I jokingly say this, but I'm glad to see the athletic department get involved with the tennis team up there.
Mm-hmm.
It helps. It helps, you know, and you and I both know that once you have a good athletic director that helps just sports in general and treats them all in good respect, then that helps out. So
I agree with that completely. My AD is one of the main reasons I love this job. I mean, working for Dr. Drain, he's fantastic at what he does and helps us do a lot of support. And so
We'll just get him to build the Peterson indoor facility. I think we'll be in good shape up there.
Now you're talking. I like that. That will help summer camps a lot.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. You guys would have people rent out that facility to host summer camps.
That's true. That's true. And that'd be a good problem to have. That'd be fun.
Well, listen, Dash, I appreciate you calling in and chatting with me today. And I'll call back, or we'll get back together kind of fall and check in with you on the small college stuff again and see how your team's doing. And the idea now is just to keep you good college coaches in the loop and keep you going.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you.
Yeah. You've been a real success, and we're glad to share the story.
I like telling it.
Yeah. Have a great day, and we'll be talking at you.
All right. Y'all too.
All right. Take care. All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dash Connell. Dash, as I said at the start of the show, is one of the top coaches in America, according to national championships. This guy went out there and went to two national championships and brought home two titles. If you can name me another college coach in America that did that this year, I'd probably buy you a steak. But it's not just, and Dash puts it well, it's not the coaching that does it all. It's those kids that he gets over there, and I would highly recommend you sending a player or a person there to Coach Connell there at TJC. You can check them out at tjc.edu. Their athletic department's listed on their website. And next week we're going to have Coach Rolando Vargas on the air. Rolando is the coach from Auburn University. And he's going to come on and tell his championship story. And we're going to get those other coaches out there that are championship guys and really do some in-depth analysis of what's going on with their college programs and keep you up to date and let you know what you can do to get over there and get players there. And, you know, that's the goal of this show is to just give as much exposure to college coaches, tennis coaches in particular, as we can, because there's some great stories out there, and we know you want to hear them, and we're just going to keep giving them to you. So we appreciate you tuning in today, and we'll be back again next week. I want to remind you that tomorrow is the Bruce Lipka Show. Bruce comes on 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, and he's live. And we're going to be starting on here before long. I've been in touch with those people, and we're very excited about the opportunity that's presented itself. So keep your ears to the